Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. Joining us now is attorney and activist Kevin Zeese, who is the co-director of It's Our Economy, director of Come Home America. He also serves on the steering committee of the Bradley Manning Support Network and the October2011.org. He has been active in third-party electoral politics. He served as Ralph Nader's press secretary and spokesman in 2004, ran for Maryland's United States Senate seat on the Green Party ticket in 2006, and was the only person ever nominated by the Green Party, Libertarian Party, and Populist Party. Welcome to Background Briefing, Kevin Zeese.
Thanks for having me on, Ian.
And Kevin, you've got third-party credentials. There's no two ways about it. But what kind of credentials does Peter Ackerman have, who is behind this Americans Elect process, which is going on? Apparently, it's going on under the radar. They're on their way to getting on all 50 ballots. They're going to conduct a virtual primary in mid-2012 to elect via the internet a presidential candidate to run against Barack Obama and whoever the Republican nominee is. So tell me.
Well, his major credential is he has the money to make this happen. And that's, I think, one of the problems in our politics is money dominates. And Ackerman comes out of money management businesses and is putting millions of dollars into this effort, has found some other funders that are undisclosed to join him. And they're in the process of getting on all 50 state ballots, which is really a great thing to do. There's a real challenge for third parties to get on the ballot, and most don't have the resources that Ackerman and his other money managers have to do it. There's a great desire for a third choice in American politics. People feel more and more manipulated by the two-party system where the corporations approve the candidates for both parties, and then we're stuck picking a corporate-approved candidate. So there's a great desire for this. Whether or not this is the answer, I think, is still a question that's in the air. Ackerman has not disclosed the other funders, so we don't know what their agendas are. Ackerman has a mixed political history. He's been very much a force in the nonviolence movement around the world, which is an interesting credential. But he's also been active with people like the Cato Institute and saying things like the Social Security system is on its way to failure, when in fact the trustees say it's in pretty good shape. And he was advocating a privatization of Social Security. I don't know whether he still supports that. What I find disheartening, in addition to the lack of transparency, is the desire for a centrist party that has a ticket of a Republican and a Democrat. You know, one as president, one as vice president. I don't see that as a real third choice. We already have two centrist parties. Yes, they have Dennis Kucinich in the Democratic Party and Ron Paul in the Republican Party, but those are voices that are barely heard, really, in party politics. Both parties are dominated by corporate-approved candidates, and they will both run to the center to try to get the center vote. And that seems to be what Ackerman's strategy is as well. We need a party that actually stands for something. And when you look at polls of Americans, they stand in the center left, not in the center. And the center has become more and more right wing as the Tea Party's gotten undue public attention and undue political power. And instead of moving to where the public is, we've moved away from where the public is. And so I don't see this, from where it seems right now, helping that. I hope it does, but right now I don't see it.
Well, it's worth noting here, I mean, Kevin Zeese, that, you know, the Vital Center, which is what Tom Friedman's been endorsing this group, Americans Elect, in his columns, you know, it's worth asking, you know, what is a centrist position on Afghanistan, for example? I mean, I understand exactly what you just said is what rules American politics. You know, the Democrats run to the left in the primaries and move back to the center in the general, and the Republicans run to the right in the primaries and move back to the center. But I still don't I don't know what a centrist ticket would be.
Exactly.
Do you have any ideas?
What centrist political positions would be?
Exactly. I mean, I give you Afghanistan as an example. You know, what's the centrist position on that?
Well, the majority position, I guess that would be centrist, is to be getting out of Afghanistan much more quickly. The majority position opposes the war in Libya. The majority position wants us completely out of Iraq, and they want to see massive cuts in military spending. Now, would those be considered centrist by Ackerman or by a Republican and Democrat running under the Ackerman banner? I don't know if that's what he means by centrist. I just finished an article that's going up today on October2011.org, which is an effort to create a Tahrir Square in Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C., that reviews seven issues and essentially defines where the American public is on those seven issues. So if you want to see what centrist stands for when it comes to wages and unions, the environment and energy and the future economy, Social Security and health care, that article will tell you where the public is. And the public is center-left of what the media tells us is center. So,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the latest poll that reacting to this deal that was made in Washington, D.C. over the debt crisis, the engineered debt crisis, albeit, they 82% of the public think it's the government's got it all wrong, that they should be focusing on employment, not on cutting Social Security and Medicare. So it would be interesting to see where Ackerman would be on that. But
that's
just
exactly
in
the point. That's exactly the point I'm making in the October2011.org article. The public is totally different than where the government is. And it's supposed to be a representative democracy.
Right.
It does not represent the people's interests. That's why there's a desire for a third party. We want the people's interests represented. That's not done by either party. It's not going to be done by a centrist with a Republican and Democrat or Democrat-Republican ticket.
Well, particularly if you don't even know who's on the board of the so-called the Hancock Society, which are the everybody that puts up $500,000 and they're not don't have to be revealed. That's the sort of the board of directors, if you will, of Americans Elect. But we'll see more, obviously, as we head towards next year. Obviously, we'll learn more. But just in general, you know, you worked for Ralph Nader and ran the 2004 campaign as their spokesman. So my question is, as a veteran of the third parties, and we know there's a lot of clamor now for third parties and a primary challenge from the left of the Democratic Party against Obama, which would be similar to what happened to Jimmy Carter with the challenge by Senator Kennedy, which of course helped elect Reagan in arguably your former candidate, Ralph Nader, helped elect George W. Bush in 2000. That seems to be the fate of third parties, that they end up being spoilers. Just explain to me, though, this. How could it be that a small group, even though it's, I think, an astroturf operation, the Tea Party, how could the Republican Party be captured by the far right and move the country so precipitously to the left and yet to the right and yet on the left, the Democratic Party, which many argue has sold its soul to Wall Street, is, you know, floundering, and it's an empty shell.
The difference is that the Republican Party, they are funded by big business interests, and the Tea Party supports the agenda of big business interests. They came out, in fact, against the Obama health care law because it was too tough on the insurance industry, when, in fact, it will give the insurance industry more money and more power and more entrenchment. So they came out with a business agenda, and the funders of business. In the Democratic Party, you have two different things. You have voters who are left of center, who oppose big business domination, who oppose Wall Street, who oppose the wars, and you have funders who support all that business agenda. So the Democrats are divided, trying to get the money, they try to manipulate things so they can take their voters for granted because they have nowhere else to go. On this spoiler issue, spoilerism is an essential part of American politics. It's how we ended slavery. Abolition movements got nowhere until they challenged the two corporate parties of that era, the Whigs and the Democrats. It's how we got unions. It's how we got women voting. It always takes an outside third party challenging the two existing parties to move the transformative agenda. If you don't do that, you're stuck within the confines of the business interests of the status quo, and you're not going to see any change. If we had McCain in office versus Obama, we would not see very much of a different agenda as we see now. What we see, a lot more protests on the left against McCain than we do against Obama.
Well, Kevin, I'm afraid we've run out of time, and we're going to have to revisit this because there's a lot more to talk about, and we barely scratched the surface. And I thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
Again, I've been speaking with Kevin Zeis, attorney activist. He has a group called October2011.org. He served as Ralph Nader's press secretary and spokesman in 2004, ran for Maryland's U.S. Senate seat on a Green Party ticket in 2006, and was the only person ever nominated by the Green Party, Libertarian Party, and Populist Party. So what did we learn on Background Briefing today? Well, we began talking about whether or not tomorrow, Monday, will be a black Monday on the financial markets around the world as they unravel in Europe. They've already started in the Middle East, and actually Asia will be next, and then Europe and the European Financial Bank, the Central Bank, and the G7 finance ministers are all in emergency meetings trying to prevent it before it hits the United States. In part, of course, it has something to do with the Standard & Poor's rating agency downgrading the U.S. Credit rating. So we talked about these issues with economist Dean Baker, who basically said Standard & Poor's is a joke, and how could the people who rated AIG and all of these Wall Street crooks who took the economy down as being creditworthy even the day before the crash of AIG, and what's the political motives behind it. And I asked him, well, what are they? And he said that he thinks that maybe Standard & Poor's is trying to scuttle the Dodd-Frank bill, get rid of Obama, get rid of the Dodd-Frank bill, because the Dodd-Frank bill wants to reform these credit agencies for the very reasons that I just mentioned. Then we went to Israel and talked with Gideon Levy with a big paper there, Haaretz. He's been covering these youthful demonstrations that have turned, starting out with a tent city, that have now grown into massive national protests. And basically, it's about the economy, stupid. You know, it's about how billionaires have taken over the country, and there's a lot of employment. There's no unemployment in Israel, but people simply don't make enough money. It started actually over the price of cottage cheese. In many ways, it makes you wonder why the hell here in the United States we're not taking to the streets in the same way and demonstrating for better living conditions and for more economic fairness. Essentially, the one question I wanted to ask him, I did ask him, was, is Netanyahu under siege going to strike out and start another war, perhaps with Iran? And he said, no, he doesn't think that's on the cards. Israeli people would not stand for it. Then we talked to Dallas Morning News senior political reporter Wayne Slater about Saturday's political religious revival meeting in Houston organized by Governor Rick Perry, who's clearly running for presidents, and he's winning, you know, he's sewing up the evangelical wing of the religious right. And he thought that the event was actually quite impressive, well organized, very slick. Then I asked him about some of Perry's crazy statements, like secession, being opposed to the 17th Amendment, which is the direct elections of the popular elections of senators. Imagine being against that. In the old days, of course, the legislature supported the U.S. senators, and whoever owned the legislature ended up owning the Senate. He basically said, no, it's all about states' rights. That's what goes back to the 10th Amendment. That's what Perry's all about. Of course, he got into trouble recently where he said that because New York passed the gay marriage thing, well, that's states' rights. And then, of course, the religious right came down on him. He changed his mind. Finally, we spoke with Kevin Zeese, who ran Ralph Nader's 2004 presidential campaign, about the possibility of a third party, which is a lot of talk about now, but mostly about Americans Elect, this new internet-powered third party that's getting on all the ballots, heavily financed. We try to figure out who are they, what do they stand for, who's behind them, what's their agenda. And frankly, there's a lot of mystery surrounding them, but they are making tremendous headway. And clearly, we're going to have to revisit this subject and revisit Kevin Zeese, because he really does know a lot about third parties, and people are really upset with the two that we have now. I'm Ian Masters. This has been Background Briefing. I'd like to thank producer Spencer Downing and Kim Nassiter. This program is available for podcasts, and you can sign up there at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.